From a transmitter atop Great Blue Hill, this is WGBH, live, local talk, Boston Public Radio.
He is Jim Browdy. I am Marjorie Egan. You're listening to 89.7 WGBH, Boston Public Radio. Hello, Jim.
Hey there, Marjorie. So in the world of football, Deflategate is obviously taking all the air out of the room, but a new study about the NFL might steal some of the airtime away from the Patriots. According to a report from something called the Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood, the NFL may be going too far in how it markets to kids. Report finds the league's new strategies to woo kids as fans, by the way, have serious consequences. More sedentary screen time, exposure to junk food marketing, encouraging gambling, and exposure to the league's off-field controversies, you know, like the ones involving Aaron Hernandez, Ray Rice, etc. Now, on top of this report, Marjorie, another one came out yesterday from the Journal of Neurology that showed that NFL retirees who started playing before they turned 12 were at a dramatically increased risk of developing memory and other cognitive problems. Joining us on the phone from Arizona, where he is for the Super Bowl, for his take on the NFL's kids problem is Chris Nowinski. Chris, I believe you know, a former Ivy League All-Star football player, pro wrestler, founding executive director of the Sports Legacy Institute, and the author of Head Games, The Global Concussion Crisis. Third edition of the book, by the way, is out now, as is a new version of his documentary film by the same name. Chris, great to talk to you.
Great talk to you, Jim.
Hey, Chris, thanks for being here. So the study that Jim just mentioned from this neurological group found that NFL players who started playing tackle football before age 12 performed an average of 20% worse on a series of these cognitive tests than those who played tackle after their 12th birthdays. So you wonder, I mean, the NFL guys obviously went through a lot more than the average high school football player. Is this study scary stuff for the average football athlete or just for the NFL people?
Well, the reality is that it probably should be scary for everybody who's playing football. And this actually came out of our group at Boston University CTE Center. Dr. Bob Stern was the senior author. The idea is that not only is playing longer worse for you, but your brain is actually developing in a very special way between, say, the ages of 10 and 12. And, you know, it's growing, it's changing, you know, it's developing. And for us to be hitting kids in the head hundreds of times while their brain's going through changes, we would assume it would have consequences. And now with research, we're seeing it has consequences. So the idea is that this is more evidence that we should really rethink how we do youth sports to avoid hitting our kids in the head on purpose, because it's not good for them.
Chris, how old were you when you started playing football?
I was 13. I was in high school, luckily.
And by the way, for those who don't know, you were, I can never remember, defensive end, defensive tackle. What were you at Harvard?
At Harvard, I was a defensive tackle.
Defensive tackle, all Ivy, all that sort of stuff. You know, the story, beyond this report, the story I've talked to you about before that just put me totally over the edge, and I can't believe didn't change everything, even though you've changed a lot. Remember that peewee football game between Tantasca and Southbridge a couple of years ago? Where one team, Southbridge, wins 52-0.
That was awful.
Five of the kids on the losing team had concussions. Five little 10- to 12-year-olds, and those five kids all missed school as a result of. Did that cause anybody to get religion, or was it just seen as an aberration?
You know, it did get some attention, but it certainly hasn't changed a whole lot. I'll tell you, I'll one up you. There's a kid in Indiana, a 10-year-old, who was playing a doubleheader of a weekend jamboree. So they have 9 and 10-year-olds playing up to 6 games in one weekend. And, of course, in the first game, he gets hit in the head. He takes a knee. He's crying. The coach yells from the sideline, "Are you okay?" The kid nods, because that's what kids do. And then the second game, he gets brain bleed. I mean, it's just horrifying. Who plays 6 games in one weekend? The lack of regulation for youth football should be what's the most concerning. Not only is it more dangerous for your brain, but there's no medical people there. There's no common sense in a lot of those places.
Well, Chris Nowinski, correct me if I'm wrong. I think in Massachusetts you can start playing Pop Warner football even younger than 9, can't you? Can't you start in second grade?
5 years old. Where they'll put a helmet on you. And even guys like John Madden have stepped forward. John Madden was on the NFL Network sitting next to Roger Goodell going, "Why are we funding kids playing football before they, you know, just after they've been potty trained? Like, what do we think?"
And what did Goodell say? What did Goodell say in response to that, Chris?
The guy, how is he defending? He put $45 million in funding USA Football's heads-up tackling program, which has never, ever been studied or proven to actually make tackling safer. But that's more money than they've put into concussion research in their lifetime. They're putting into marketing to moms, and that's the New York Times article this morning, how they're marketing to moms to try to convince us that youth football for five-year-olds is safe. And it's the biggest mistake the NFL is making, and it's going to be the one that hurts them the most. If they were smart, they would say, you know what, football is dangerous. The evidence is overwhelming, so why not wait till we're at least in high school, where at least your brain might be developed enough and you might be mature enough to deal with the injuries, rather than bashing 3 million, 5 to 13-year-old kids in the head every year. It riles me up, as you can tell.
Well, Chris Nowinski, I guess I wonder, so the reason the NFL is behind convincing mothers, and I read that story too, that you can play football safely, is because why? Because they figure if kids don't start, because obviously most kids playing Pop Warner are never going to get close to playing in the NFL or even in high school or college. So is it to get fans, future fans, or to get interest in the game, or what?
I think the obvious argument is a talent pipeline. There's a fear that if you start playing lacrosse or soccer at five, or seven, football,
okay,
you'll fall in love with,
okay,
that. You'll never come back to football. But the other big one is, yes, the fastest way to get kids caring about football, understanding what is a complex game if you're not, don't grow up with it, is to get them playing early so they understand the rules and they look up to the guys in the NFL. So it is a fan development, sort of platform.
Chris Nowinski, at the same time as Marjorie and I both said prior to you coming on a couple of minutes ago, at the same time this neurology report, Journal of Neurology thing came out about the cognitive responses of former NFLers, depending on how early they started playing, there's this corollary deal that talks about how playing fantasy football as a kid gets a kid into gambling, how they're brand marketing NFL stuff, how the screen games from NFL are making our little fat kids even fatter. And as a former fat kid, believe me, I totally understand that stuff. But what I worry about is if the parents, and maybe you'll disabuse me of this, if the parents don't get it when it comes to the brain, what causes us to think they're going to care about whether or not the NFL is marketing to their kid, not as a player, as a fan? Is there any evidence that parents are concerned about this?
I'm certainly not aware that parents are keeping an eye on it. I mean, but you're talking to someone who spent time in the professional wrestling world. And the reality is all those sports, are sort of kind of competing for the attention of our kids. I mean, I think the fantasy football argument is an interesting one, just because it's amazing how many people I know that are addicted to that. I find it's mind-boggling. That argument is not as interesting to me as the one about encouraging us to give our kids brain damage.
Give our kids what?
Brain damage.
Oh, yeah. Obviously not. But let's end with this, Chris. I know this is maybe it is scientific, but let's do it either randomly or scientifically. If you were to speak to the average parent who's contemplating having their kids start playing tackle football at a young age today, as opposed to the same parent or a different parent with the same age kid 10 years ago, would we see a greater level of understanding and sensitivity to the dangers to their child, or because the NFL is so huge, nothing has changed?
No, we're seeing changes. The latest poll from University of Pennsylvania said 50% of parents are wary and wouldn't let their kids play football. And last year, it was only 40%.
Oh, yeah. Really? That's great.
Huge swing in 1 year.
Yeah, a Bloomberg Politics poll in the New York Times this morning said the same thing. Half Americans don't want their sons playing football, so that is significant. I would imagine
10% in a year, Chris says.
Yeah, so you're doing a great job, Chris, getting the message out.
I'm not trying to scare anyone from football, but the youth football issue that we can do better for these kids.
Hey, last thing, when you're walking around Super Bowl territory, which is where you are, how do the NFL executives treat you?
I don't see them very often. But it is nice that the players do pull me aside, and most tired ones, and thank me for the work and offer to help. I picked up a few more brain pledges today or last night.
Great.
It's a nice place.
Oh,
Chris,
that's great.
You do fabulous work. Is Sports Legacy Institute, is SLI.org?
Sportslegacy.org.
Sportslegacy.org. If you find out more information or any sort of thing. Chris, have fun at the Super Bowl, and thanks for your work, and thanks for your time.
Thank you, Chris. Kristen Whiskey is the founding executive editor of the Sports Legacy Institute, which is sportslegacy.org, and the author of Head Games, The Global Concussion Crisis. The third edition of his book is out now, and he's a really smart guy, knows everything about this. The new version of documentary, his documentary is by the same name. Kristen Whiskey, again, thank you for joining us. We're going to open up the lines now to you guys. Does this latest news have you rethinking football, and in particular, football for your kids? Our number is 877-301-8970.
Just as player, but as fan, by the way. I'm not suggesting you shouldn't have your kid watch the Sunday game. A lot of people are urging their kids not to because of the legacy of the Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson. But, you know, this thing, whatever it's called, the campaign for a commercial-free childhood.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I mean, assuming they know what they're talking about this gateway to junk foods and gateway to gambling and all this sort of stuff, just adds more to this mix.
Well, they also, because I went on this morning to this NFL Rush thing where they have a bunch of 6 to 13-year-olds, 3 million of them register. We don't know if they're all, maybe their parents are registering for them or whatever. But anyway, you have to register. And you go on there, and it's all these incredible, you know, they talk about the Redskins, which is a big controversial thing that people shouldn't be talking about. The Redskins, they talk about,
particularly to kids, you mean?
Yeah, in the NFL Rush, they feature this character who's referred to as a Redskin. And in addition, they have, as this story says, the NFL Rushstone includes Ray Rice, who, of course, got in trouble for domestic violence, and Adrian Peterson.
Still?
Well, that's what the story says. I could not get on there this morning to verify that in time for the show, but that's what the story says. And Adrian Peterson, who, of course, got in trouble for beating up his son, as sometimes guest stars on their show. So the Redskins thing is upsetting to people. Obviously, Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson are upsetting to people. But this marketing of football to little kids in schools as well, where they use words like they're teaching vocabulary words, but they use words like huddle and quarterback in the language arts curriculum to expand kids' vocabulary. I mean, it's kind of in schools.
You know, the Tantascwa versus Southridge story I told, and then it is true, Chris did one up us for this, wherever he said in the Midwest or wherever it was, that's the 6 games in a weekend thing. The one thing I left out is, again, Southridge beat Tantascwa 52-0. The rules of Pee Wee said the game should have been suspended because, you know, or the mercy rule kind of thing. They didn't do it. Do you know what the slogan for the 10 to 12-year-old Southridge team was?
Are you tough enough?
I mean, are you tough enough? I mean, really, are you tough enough?
Well, I mean, anybody who's had their kid in Pop Warner, I've told you a million times, I had my kid in Pop Warner and it was like 95 degrees and you had to practice 4 nights a week. It was ridiculous. It's very expensive. It took you half an hour to get the kid in all the outfit, you know, the pads and everything else because they're little. They're like 6 and 7 and 8 years old. They can't do it themselves. And I remember it was really hot and my older kid had just had a heat stroke thing from running. So I noticed it was really hot and my kid's over in the sidelines and I said, do you want something? Are you thirsty? He said, yes. And the coach told me he had to go back in the game. And I said, well, he's thirsty. And I took his helmet off, which was really hard to do because he's got a big head. And the steam was coming out of his hair.
Oh,
and they don't even want you to take water breaks and stuff. I mean, this is not even a very good team. They got crushed in every event they went into by people like, you know, are you tough enough from Tantascwa?
Well, you know, in all fairness, we should have asked Kristen Whiskey this, but his work, both on Beacon Hill, Congress, et cetera, Dr. Cantu, with whom he works, they have changed a lot of the rules in high school. I mean, one of those, the baseline test requirements, so that if you allegedly have a concussion, there's something to compare your cognitive skills to.
Right.
But the notion that well, the good news, you and Chris both said, I didn't see in the poll you mentioned, that the numbers are up dramatically. Was it 50% don't want their kids to play or don't want their kids to play until a certain age? What does it say?
Half of Americans do not want their sons playing football, according to a recent Bloomberg Politics poll. And he cited a different poll as well with the same numbers. So that's pretty dramatic. But, you know, I didn't think of what Chris Nowinski said. Of course they want these kids in there early because otherwise they'll go play other sports. Lacrosse is really picking
fastest
up for boys and girls.
America, yeah.
I mean, kids love to play that. Rugby's picking up steam as well, and soccer. So if you have kids playing those other sports, obviously they're not going to be able to play football because as people with kids in sports know, you're almost funneled into playing one sport instead of a bunch of sports by the time you're in high school, which is awful too. Our number is 877-301-8970.
Did we just read you one paragraph? For those, I know that there are people out there who are saying, and there's a piece of me that says, you know, it's one thing to worry about your kid's brain, which we all should. It's another thing to worry about this trying to lure them in as fans. Let me read to you the one paragraph in the press release from this this campaign for a commercial-free childhood on the whole notion of encouraging kids to play fantasy football as a major component
gambling,
of
Jim.
Marketing. Listen to this.
You're never too young to start.
I didn't know this. The league offers cash and other prizes for its fantasy contests, giving kids a vested interest, obviously, in the outcome of the games. The league even promotes fantasy football in elementary schools. And obviously, I assume we all agree on the following. Gambling at a young age is a risk factor for problem gambling later in life. 877-301-8970. And before we start, let me just say two words. Go Pats. The Super Bowl is, let's put things in perspective here.
Okay. Let's go to Anthony in the car. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Jim and Marjorie. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I was just calling with regard to this issue. I think that I hear a lot of talk about, the cognitive effects of concussions on youth. And, obviously on the other side of it, talking about creating fair gambling and all this issue. I think what links the two is adolescent mental health. And I think that that's the way that we need to be having this conversation, too, is we talk a lot about, reduction in memory, all that, but let's talk about, the effects of concussions on depression and anxiety in adolescents, and I think that might be a way to get parents to listen about this, because there's this big conversation going on right now about adolescent mental health. The awareness on it has never been higher, and I think that the way that we can address this issue is to frame it in that way and saying, hey, anxiety increases, depression increases when you have a concussion. And obviously there's more research to be done, but I think that might be the way to address it.
I think it's a very fine point. Public education is happening. Again, Nowinski has been at the center of this thing, but that's a great point. And I have to say, Anthony, while that's good, I find it hard to believe that I have two girls, neither of whom played football.
They're not playing football.
But let me just say, it is hard for me to believe that even if your kid is not a great athlete, when you watch these former brilliant NFL stars who barely know where they are, much less those who've killed themselves and that sort of stuff, and their brain is analyzed afterwards, and the belief is they do have this CTE or whatever it is, it is amazing to me that the number's only at 50. It's good that it's growing. Chris said it was 40% didn't want their kids to play a year ago to 50 in a year. That is huge. But you want to cry when you see these men who have given their lives to the sport who are completely incapacitated, not dead.
I think awareness is dramatically different.
I know it is.
And I think that the schools have made a huge difference with these stress tests. Well, I shouldn't call them stress tests. Concussion tests, basically, where you have to do the baseline. If you can't pass the baseline test, you cannot play again until you pass the baseline.
No matter what the kid says,
no matter what
the coach says,
that's right.
You're right.
That makes a huge difference. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to keep talking about this. It's 877-301-8970. Are you letting your kid play football? We're talking about the NFL as well. It has a serious kid problem. What do you think about the marketing to these little kids, 6 and 7 years old? Why not start gambling in the first grade? That conversation continues after this quick break.